Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Victorious Living. This is your host, Minister Janice. We are grateful to be here this day. And we thank God for you. And we thank Him for you. And we thank Him for you. Yes, we are just grateful. We are grateful. We are grateful. Yes. We have gone through many things. Many things we have seen. Many things has happened. But it's all through the grace of God, through the grace of God, that we are here, that we are able to stand. It's through His grace. Mark chapter 4, verse 14 through 15, and it says, the sower sows the word. The one alone, the path, are those who have the word sown. But when they hear, Satan comes at once and takes away the message which is sowed in them. Listen to that. Quickly, he says, Satan comes. When the word is sowed, the word is a seed that is planted, and it's planted through our ears, through our hearts. Whenever we hear, whenever we're in the presence of God, let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come today thanking you, Lord. Thanking you for the opportunity that you've given us. Thank you, God, for your listening audience, God. Yes, your listening audience. Yes. We are just grateful for everyone that is listening far and near, God. Master, we are grateful today for the many blessings that you continually shower upon us, God. Blessings that we see, blessings that we don't see. We thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the teachings of Jesus. We thank you for the love that Jesus shared for us. Even today, his love is still being shared for us. We ask, oh God, that you look upon those that are lost, God, those that don't know you in the points of their sins, God. Those that are dealing with grief, oh God, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus to hold them, God, to hold the families together, Master. We ask you right now in the name of Jesus. Look upon those that are lost. Yes. Those that don't know you in the points of their sins, those that feel they know everything and no one could tell them anything. Master, we ask you right now to grab hold to them. Grab them, God. Grab them. Oh, Jesus, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus to grab hold to them, to the young and to the old. Master, we ask you to draw nigh to you, God. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray and that we believe that you have heard us this day in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. And we thank God. We thank God for the opportunity that he's given us. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's only through his grace and through his mercy. It's not by anything that we have done, not by anything we have said, not by anything that we have bought. We cannot buy salvation. Salvation is a gift that comes from above. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know that we have been discussing the if factor, because just last week, as we talked about the ifs, we see that there are many, many ifs, that people use, that we use. We use it all the time. We use it daily, if. How many times a day? How many times a week? How many times a month do we use these conjunctions. We use them. We use the buts. We use the maybes. We use the even though, the only if. We use those. And we use those when we're talking about the Word of God. We use the conjunctions. And many times it's in a positive way that we use them. If you can also think about, we use the conjunctions as we challenge many of our sisters and brothers in Christ. We use the conjunctions. Yeah. The Word of God, Jesus used the conjunctions. Yes. Yes. We love to challenge folks on our own. But when a challenge comes from on high, think about that. The conjunction is a challenge that comes from above. Hallelujah. Yeah, then we have a problem. We have a problem with that conjunction. Yeah, we have a problem with that. The IF. The maybe. The if you. Sometimes we need to have a challenge. We need to have a challenge placed in our lives to motivate us. To bring us to this one single direction that we need to go to. Next generation, I'm talking to you. We need to go in this direction. Yeah. And many times we can't find our way. We can't find our way. We have no idea which way to go. We have no idea how to get there. But in the event of if, if can lead us into the direction where we will open up. We're going to open up. Our brain, and all of a sudden, is going to open up. Yeah. And no more will it be shut down. No more will it just have the tunnel vision, tunnel thoughts. IF is going to lead us. If we can remain teachable, listen to what I'm saying. We have to remain teachable. We have to use the teachable tools as well as insertions, the instructions into the objection of the direction. We have to use these tools. We can't lay them down. We can't act like they're dormant. We can't act like we have no idea what they're there for. In the Word of God, we see that this method of attention grabber was used all through the Bible. It was used. In some cases, I have caused you to think before your next move. IF caused you to do that. Let's look at some of the examples of IF. Yeah, let's just look. Jesus used IF all the time. Half of the 574 IFs occurred in the New Testament. And they were in the four Gospels, the IFs. Jesus used the IFs. He used them on men. Yeah. He used IFs. And he used it in a peaceful way. It was done very peacefully. And at the same time, he was giving you a choice. He was giving you a way out. Yeah. He was not condemning you. He was not forcing you because of IFs. Glory to God. Yeah. Yes. Very seldom. Very, very seldom did he use it on man, per se. Very seldom. Yeah, very seldom. But we know that today we use IF on each other. Oh, we, if you don't do what I say, if you don't do this, or this won't happen if you don't what. We use I if. And when we use it in a very derogatory way. Jesus did not do that. I if. Yeah, let's move quickly. Yeah, listen to this. He says here, Mark chapter 4, verse 23, and it says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear and let him perceive and comprehend. Yeah, see, you're just not going to hear. You're going to proceed with it. When I say perceive, what am I saying? You're going to become aware of what you're hearing. You're not just going to hear words go over your head, but you're going to allow the words to sink in. Next generation, listen to that. Huh? You're going to come to a place called realization, where you're going to realize that the words on that page, that is in this book, can become life in your life. Yeah, it can become alive in your life. But when you proceed with it, when you comprehend it, when you grasp hold to what is really being said to you, when you allow your mentality to understand, oh yes, that's what the Word of God said. Above all, get an understanding to make sure you have it, to make sure you get it right. Mark 4:23 is telling us to hear it, to receive it, and then we do something with it. We just don't just hear the words and just those words, we heard them, and we just leave those words there when we get up and go. No. The words become a part of us. Yeah, a part of us. Listen to this. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. John 14 and 15. If you love me. So why is it necessary for God to say this to us, for us to see and hear, if you love me? It's a conjunction. It's just setting out, laying before you a path that you can take. You can love me or you don't have to. It's up to, it's your choice. If you love me. What is the commandments? The commandments can be life, what? Life-changing. Yeah. We've heard the scripture say, taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, we read the scripture, we taste it, and then we use it. How? We use it to glorify God through our own bodies, through our own life, through our own way of living. Yes. I am. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 4 and 14. A condition. Yeah. He's requiring us to do the right thing. Reason, he's for our attention. For our attention to be present in a setting where we can learn the Word of God, where we can be taught, where we can be trained in a school, a Christian school of learning, in a group where Christians can come together and be taught to learn the word. is so important, that we can all be equipped. I remember when I was in Sunday school as a child, I didn't understand everything they were saying. I knew they talked about Jesus, and I wanted to know who he was and when can I meet him. I knew he loved me because they told me, and we would sing this song, "Yes, Jesus loved me." So I knew all of that. But as you become older, it's more to Jesus than just that. Oh, yeah. Why? Because Jesus, once you get older, he wants you to really have a relationship with him, a personal relationship with him, where you would have quiet time, where you would be able to pray, where you would be able to hear what he has to say when he speaks to you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 He wants you to learn more about him, not learn about how to go shopping, not learning how to go cook, not learning how to sleep, but how to produce disciples. That's what we're here for, to produce disciples. Disciples for who? For Christ. Disciples that they can live a life that will be pleasing to an almighty God. Next generation. This may sound like it's huge. This may sound like it's bigger than you. But you can do it. He has given you the ability to do it. Yes. Even as a young age. Glory to God. So let's look quickly at another conjunction, or even a preposition. Yeah. This is used to help us better understand the word of God. In Ezekiel 22, we're going to go right to verse 29 quickly. Yeah, we're going to go to 29 quickly. And what's going on here in 29? Let's see. 29 says, "The people of the land have oppressed, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and the needy, and they wrongfully oppressed the stranger." Now think about that. Well, who would do that? Who would want to harm anyone? Maybe not you, but they did have wicked leaders, just like we see wicked leaders today. Wicked leaders haven't all died off. Some are still present with us. Yes. So here we see in verse 29, God is talking to us. He's telling us right here through Ezekiel. Yeah. That the people of the land, they have oppressed. Yeah. Oppressed. What does oppress mean? Oppress means when you are bound, when your hands are tied, when you're not able to do like you want to do. You're not able to take care of your family. You can't work. You can't provide. You are oppressed. Yeah. Robbery. Things have been stolen from you. Yes. And many times the things that have been stolen were stolen wrongfully from you. Your babies, your children are not able to eat. They're not able to be clothed. Why? Because of the wicked leaders. Yeah. And this is in verse 29. So just move real quickly with me to verse 30. And it says here, "So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap for me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy." Listen to that. Semicolon. Semicolon means something else behind it. Semicolon. And it says, but is the conjunction that we're talking about. This is the next conjunction. Yeah, this is one. Yeah, this is a preposition. This is letting us know that something else is coming. He says here, but I find no one. No one was qualified. No one was capable. No one was able to do this. Think about that. Look at this. Nobody was able to stand up and say, this is wrong. You shouldn't do this. This is wrong. We should not take food away from families. We should not rob. We should not oppress the people. No one would stand up for righteousness. No one would stand up for peace. No one would stand up for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Think about this. Next generation. You're not too small. You're not too young that you can't do this. You have a voice. He's given you sense. He's given you common sense. And he's given you a heart. You're able to breathe. You're able to concentrate. You're able to know right from wrong. And you're sitting in the presence of an almighty God where he can teach you. Open up your mouth. Speak for what is right. Yes, think about that. Yeah, look, you can do it. But here we see that no one was able. No one was qualified. No one stepped up. Nope. If they were qualified, they were fearful. They were frightened. They were afraid of being harmed because they what? Opened up their mouth and spoke. They stood. They were afraid of being knocked down. But we who are in Christ, who are in Christ, there will be times when we have to stand up for righteousness. We just see witnessing some of the people today who are standing up for righteousness and going to jail, but they're standing up for righteousness and they're not being quiet. They're standing up for what they know is the right thing. And I want to let you know that righteous will win. In the end, righteousness will win. It may look bleak. Oh, yeah, it may look bleak. It may look useless. It may look hopeless. But in the end, glory to God, righteousness is going to win. Why? Because you're not alone. Let's look at this. I'm just going ahead of me. Listen to this. Three questions that I have. Yeah, righteousness will win. Righteousness will win. The conjunctions that could cause you to be separated. A conjunction, just think about that. It can cause you to be separated from God. If you don't accept Christ, if you don't accept him as your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what then? IF. If you don't accept him, if we become in a backslidden state, and what is that? When you become backslidden. Backslidden is when you know God, you know Christ, you gave your life to him, but you, for some reason, for some unearthly reason, were tempted by the enemy, which is Satan, and he has come in and sit down with you and entertain you and made it seem to you that he was better than God. And so you decided that you no longer want to be with Jesus. And so you're backslidden. You have backslid. You have walked away. You have literally walked away from God. Now, I want you to understand this. In the IF, you still have a chance. Because you have a chance in the IF to come, and you have a chance to come and repent. That's what it's called. You can repent. What does repentance mean? Repentance simply means, Lord, please forgive me. I have sinned. Clean my heart. Change me, God. Put me back in right standards with you. And I will serve you, God, for the rest of my days. That's it. That's repentance. But so often we stay in IF, and some of us never come back. IF, one more. We go around telling folks there is no God. We tell them, I don't know who God is. You don't know who God is. God don't exist. And we've heard people say this. We have been in the presence of people who have said that God does not exist. We've heard that. We've heard it, and some of us have actually said it too. Think about it. IF, again, the God that we're talking about tonight has given us the ability through IF to repent of the sin. Whatever the sin may be, even though it may look like it's huge, it may look like nobody would ever forgive me for this, I have wronged the whole world. The weight of the crime or the weight of the sin is upon me. Nobody would ever love me. Am I talking to anybody? I want to let you know that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I'm talking about tonight, he stands with his arms wide open, and he's saying to us, there is nothing, there is no sin that is too great that I can't forgive you for. The only sin that I may reject you is the sin of the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. When you're saying that the Holy Spirit don't exist and you saying all kind of negative things about the Holy Spirit, that sin is one that will cause you to be far away from me, far away. But if you come to me and humble yourself before the Almighty God and let him know that you've sinned, and that you don't want to stay in this. You have no desire to stay here. But your desire is to be saved and live a saved life. Our Lord and our Savior. Glory to God. Oh, he's a loving Savior. He would humble himself. And he will forgive you. He will forgive you. It won't take all year. It won't take 10 years. He will do it spontaneous. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for this word. We thank you, God, for listening ears. We thank you, God, for listeners all over the world, God. We ask, Master, that this word, oh God, that it will seep deep down into the next generation, that they will hear, that they will get to know who this Jesus really is. And we will be careful to give you all praise. We will give you all honor because it's in Jesus' name we pray. And we thank him. We thank him. And we just say amen. Amen. We thank God for everyone that's with us this evening. Yes, what a mighty God. What a mighty God. We know that the angels bow before him, and we know that heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God. Again, we look forward to having you back here with us on next Friday. And, of course, on Saturday with Sister Sadie, Minister Sadie with the children, and back here on Sunday with God Favorite Ministries.